This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HPC strikes gold in the Olympics. Three Leaf gets its start at Florida State. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for March 12, 2010, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Addison.
Morning, Michael.
Well, kind of picking up from where we left off last week, how was the Undy 5000 run for the Colon Cancer Alliance you did here in San Diego last week? How'd that go?
Thanks for asking, Michael. It was a lot of fun. I was there with my family and some friends and did the 5K on a nice cool morning in San Diego.
Very cool.
the rain held off for us. We stayed dry, and our team raised $4,000 for the Colon Cancer Alliance. I think they raised something like $50,000 overall. It was a wonderful, fun event.
Well, that's great. Now, that's a great cause. Well, another sports story that sort of reminds me of that is a story that actually happened a couple weeks ago now with the Olympics. And actually, it's a story we talked about on a previous podcast with your colleague, Chris Willard. And that was about the U.S. four-man, U.S. bobsled team in the Vancouver Winter Games. And
yeah, you and Chris had a preview that they were using HPC on the sleds to try to make them faster. Look what happened.
Right, and right, it was a combo of Exa software and IBM cluster hardware, and they were working on it. This was before the Olympics, and we're wondering, you know, Chris and I were wondering how they were going to do. And sure enough, the four-man bobsled team from the U.S. captured the gold.
The night train.
The night train. The four-man night train. These guys have had a good run. They won a championship at Lake Placid last year, and they were raring to go, and they captured the gold. Not by much, but they captured it. So,
well, that's the point, is that it's a not by much kind of sport.
I mean, right.
Their margin of victory was what?
Was less than 0.4 of a second, I think 0.38 seconds, and that was over like four runs, which they aggregate together, and it was like three and a half minutes. So 3.5 minutes on the track, and it came down to less than 0.4 seconds.
Yeah, and I think bronze was another hundredth of a second behind that. So
right.
You got less than four tenths of a second separating you from gold and bronze, and then I don't know what fourth place was and how much more you got to slow down to be out of the medals entirely, but it's not very much.
It's not very much. It's definitely a game of inches there, and which is amazing to me because those are fairly long runs. So I ended up talking to the folks at Exa, and which was the people that the software maker that contributed their software to help in the bobsled design. It's CFD software. It's basically the same stuff that goes into making all sorts of things. I mean, Exa is a big automotive shop software maker, and they're in all the automakers, and they do it's applied to other things, trains, planes, and automobiles, basically. And NASCAR, and this is much like a NASCAR design in that you're trying to obviously, you know, get the best aerodynamics and the least drag you can out of these things.
That's right.
And what the Exa folks told me was basically they were able to improve the aerodynamics by about 2%, which is not a lot, but it turned out that works out to about 0.2 seconds per run or 0.8 seconds for the entire event. So that's well above what their margin of difference was. So that was pretty exciting that this piece of software that nobody else really knew about perhaps made the difference in that gold medal there.
It might have. Now, you don't want to take anything away from the driver and his crew of big, strong pushers. Even if you made the sled that much faster, you need a driver who can handle that speed through those turns, which is no small feat. So, of course, it's the drivers, it's the athletes who really do it. But I think if you offer any of them a sled that's 2% faster, they'd certainly take it.
Definitely, and the Exa folks were very excited about that, and they were sharing credit definitely with the four man crew. which obviously had been training long and hard for this for the past couple of years. In fact, this whole project, to build these sleds started a couple of years ago as the championship season sort of winds up. And when we just see these sleds kind of appear at the Olympics, we think, oh, okay, they just sort of appeared and they're just now. But this goes on for years as a setup.
Yeah, they went to Walmart, bought a bobsled.
Right. And so
on the track.
So right. So these designs were done, back in 2008, and there was a bunch of them, and then they refined the designs iteratively, and then they started on the championship season. And like I said, they won the gold they won the first place in Lake Placid last year. But the interesting part is, up until this year, all the U.S. bobsled teams were using European sleds, and the European sleds were basically designed a traditional manager with wind tunnels. I don't know if that's traditional, but at least that's the way they've been done in recent history and the way they're still done. And so these were the first guys that actually did virtual simulations to build these sleds. And, it worked out for them, obviously.
Well, this is continuing the theme that we've been discussing, that in areas of any type of manufacturing or R&D where a small incremental improvement leads to large competitive advantage, we're starting to see increased adoption of HPC, whether that's a consumer product that you're trying to get to market a week faster or for 10% less cost, or whether it's a NASCAR that you're trying to shave half a second off of your time. In either case, an incremental investment or an incremental improvement in R&D, I should say, can lead to an enormous benefit and competitive advantage.
Exactly. And it's not, it doesn't necessarily require a great deal of effort. Now, in this case, I think they donated the CFD software. Exacorp just donated it because they wanted to be involved in the project. But the actual design time, I don't think was all that long. I think they did 30 simulations, and I think each simulation took, a matter of hours. And then they go back and they do another one. But it was sort of applying the technology in a very laser-like way and getting this performance increase out of it. So,
well, what it does require is the wherewithal and political support within an organization to fundamentally change the workflow of how you're bringing something to market, which includes a significant investment in building your numerical models to the point where you're putting trust in numerical simulation as opposed to physical prototyping.
Right. And these
I should say, potentially in combination with physical prototyping.
Right. And obviously, these guys in the designers of the sleds, which is actually another company called Bodine, which is founded by a former NASCAR racer, they didn't really have that background per se, but actually EXA came in and they actually added their engineering expertise, their domain-specific engineering expertise to help these guys through it, because it's not like you can just, throw the software on the cluster and then run it and then, see what pops out. You definitely need some hand-holding here, especially with people that, are just kind of grabbing onto this technology.
Well, this is exactly what we've seen, that, for all the talk about the cost of the hardware or software, that's actually the smaller barrier to entry into HPC. The bigger thing is the creation of those first digital models and having the desire and the willingness to change your workflow. As we look into what are some things that the industry can do to speed HPC adoption through more areas of science and engineering, that's a big topic that we'll be looking at.
Yeah, and the EXA folks actually made a big point sort of along those lines, saying, part of their value is adding that engineering expertise and how to get that into the workflow and being able to support the customers so that it's not just, throwing software over the fence and expecting them to know how to use it. So,
well, and building parallel models, Michael, is one of the things that becomes challenging as you try to scale from the CAD environment into a CAE environment. And one argument that we've heard over time is that really should still be easier to do on SMPs than it is in a purely cluster or necessarily MPI environment, which is directly related to the other story that you had written up for this week.
Right, and this is another story that actually took got announced a couple weeks ago. It was about 3-Leaf and their first installed system, or their first announced installed system, which was at Florida State University. And there they deployed basically a 12 server cluster, which is not really a cluster because 3-Leaf is offering this virtual SMP facility in their technology, and you're able to basically carve up what's essentially a commodity cluster into fat SMP nodes that share memory and CPUs in much larger configurations across an InfiniBand backplane. And we've talked about this, I think, on previous shows, and certainly we've talked about their competitor ScaleMP on different occasions. Both these companies are offering this virtual SMP technology that basically leverages the fact that commodity cluster hardware is very inexpensive, but SMP technology tends to be more expensive, but very useful for certain types of applications. At Florida State, they're going to use it for a variety of their science disciplines. It's going to be shared by, you know, the astrophysics and earth science people there, as well as basically any science researcher who needs sort of what you were talking about, these fat SMP nodes to do their work. I think that sort of the more interesting, one of the two more interesting points about that deployment was basically FSU was sort of an AMD shop, and they were sort of looking for an Opteron-based solution. Now, ScaleMP, which is the other virtual SMP solution, only supports Intel at this point. I think I've asked them on a number of occasions why, and it's basically because they feel like most of the market is still on Intel Xeon platforms. But in this case, you know, these guys were very much Opteron based and comfortable with that, and 3-Leaf right now is the only alternative out there to do virtual SMP technology. They use basically super micro boards, and then they put their custom ASIC on it to do the cache coherency, and voila, you've got the virtual SMPs.
Well, yeah, and from our standpoint, I see a role for both 3-Leaf and ScaleMP in the market. They're trying to go a similar direction, although they've got two different approaches.
Right.
They're working on two different types of platforms. Overall, I think throughout HPC, we're seeing an increased emphasis on investment in SMPs. I've interviewed one group of users in an industry best practice study where a number of them were saying they were going to move more toward SMPs and away from clusters in their next technology round. So that combined with other SMP-capable machines like the ones from SGI coming onto the market, I think makes an interesting architectural shift back toward these more tightly integrated architectures.
Right, and I think I've seen that too, where there are more customers out there looking to build more of these big shared memory nodes into their systems. I think we just saw a recent announcement about the system up at San Diego Supercomputer Center, which is famous for its flash technology, but also they're using the ScaleMP solution up there to get fat nodes out of that system and have a little different architecture. So Andoli, I see a lot more people talking about fat nodes in their HPC infrastructure, and even if they've got a cluster, it seems like maybe some of their servers are SMP nodes now.
That's right. Now, the difference with 3-Leaf versus ScaleMP, of course, is that 3-Leaf has a chip that wants to be integrated onto the board. So long term for 3-Leaf, they're going to be looking for OEM partners who are interested in integrating this chip into their designs to be able to turn clusters into SMP-capable systems.
Right.
The important thing to me in this story with Florida State is it shows the important role of Supermicro in the industry, where, you know, without that, it's hard for 3-Leaf to address this kind of business without the partnership of an OEM. But they're able to acquire the nodes through Supermicro and still integrate the chips and fulfill a contract essentially as a server provider, although really what 3-Leaf is doing is putting the chips on the Supermicro nodes.
Right, and in fact, 3-Leaf is you know, talking about in the future expanding out to Intel Xeon platforms as well, so they'll have to go through the same thing about locating an OEM. Presumably, it would at least be Supermicro again, but maybe they'll be able to work with other people, or maybe even convince another OEM to take over the manufacturing altogether. But yeah, they've got that little extra challenge that ScaleMP doesn't have, which is, like you said, it's a software-only solution.
Right. ScaleMP is, you know, theoretically a lot easier to deploy. I mean, they're just shipping software on thumb drives, little miniature thumb drives that go into USB ports, aren't they?
Right. It's all firmware, and they just plug it in, and so they don't have sort of that barrier to work with. Now, the three-leaf story is they've got this ASIC, which is managing the cache coherency, so their story is the performance is much better, and in talking to the folks at Florida State, I mean, they didn't compare, obviously, the two, they didn't physically compare the two systems, but they're very happy with the performance they're getting out of the three-leaf system right now. But yeah, I mean, theoretically, in hardware, if you can do this cache coherency in hardware, you should be able to get much better performance than you would in a software-only solution.
But in any case, not to dissect the ScaleMP versus 3-Leaf over much, because they both should be in a growth position in the industry.
Yep.
They're taking, as we said, similar approaches to the same problem, and the renewed interest in SMPs from various sectors of users should create an opportunity for both of them, as well as for companies like SGI.
Exactly. Yeah, these guys might be running into each other in some cases, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of greenfield out there for both these systems, I think, going up against the physical SMP systems. I mean, when I talked to the folks at Florida State, Jim Wilkenbush, who heads the HPC facility there, they actually had physical SMP systems there. You know, several years ago, they had IBM PowerBase system, they had SGI system that were these fat node systems, and from the way he tells it, they were expensive systems, they were hard to maintain, and they were hard to fund for a university because they were just a little more high end than a university that size could really manage effectively. So they phased them out when clusters became much more cost effective, and like most of the universities, you know, they went to cluster HPC technology. And now, you know, they're able to get back into this SMP architecture via this virtual technology, which is a big boost for them because there are a lot of applications out there that want that kind of architecture to run on.
Well, it's an industry trend that we're going to be keeping our ears out for. I'm giving a speech next week at the HPCC conference in Newport, Rhode Island. It's a great conference that I love attending, and I'm looking forward to hearing what some of the users there have to say.
Yeah, that is a great conference. I'll be interested to hear what your feelings are after you get back.
I'll talk to you about it next week. How about that?
Excellent. Well, that's a good show. We'll have to wrap it up there, and we will talk next week, Addison.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.